We are in a sermon series about the leadership of the church, and for the past two Sundays, I've been preaching about the elders of the church, the leaders of the church, the spiritual leaders of the church. Now, one thing that is really clear to us is that these leaders are examples. So we don't want to be led by people that they don't walk what they talk. We want to be led by people that they walk their talk. And they are example for others. They are not perfect, right? The only people perfect are already in heaven. So we don't need perfect people because they are dead. So what we need is people that they know the scripture and they try their best to do this. Now, if our leaders are like this, how about the whole church? We want the same thing. But we want to be inspired, right? What do you think is, if you are not inspired to do something, I don't like it, right? If you are not inspired to go to back every morning, back to your job, are you going back to your job? Well, probably because of the money. But if you are inspired, it's easier, right? So it's easier to live the Christian life when you have models. By the way, we don't have idols, right? American Idol, thing like that. We don't have that. What we have is people that they are, you know, when you touch them, they are still, you know, blood and flesh and bones and everything, but they try their best. Now, a second category of leaders in the church is elders and deacons, right? Deacons. Now, how many of you had been under a teaching that explained the ministry and the qualification of the deacons? Okay, let me rephrase it. Have you heard or watched, like YouTube, any message or sermon about deacons in your life? One, two. Okay, then it's good to be here. It's good to be here. Because in the past, actually, I was really interested about this topic because what I knew about the deacons was, what I saw in the church. So, but depending on what church you go to and attend, the deacons are different. And the main idea of deacons or their ministry is different. So therefore, what I did, I thought, you know what? When I was in my master's degree program, I thought, I want to write a paper about this. So this sermon, this message is actually based on that paper. And first off, we need to know what is the nature of this ministry in the church. The word diaconia, it means ministry. It's like service. That means it's a spiritual service in the church. There are so many other, I don't want to read all the passages, but this is the main idea. So it's a spiritual service, but not teaching. So a deacon will never come here and teach you anything because they are not doing this. This is not their job. This is not their duty. Deacons are the ones who actually are in the ministry that is non-teaching ministry, and they are helping the elders to do their job. They are the support team for the elders. Deacons are not called to deal with any teaching or direction or discipline in the church, but to help the distressed, to help those who are in problems and they need a little bit of help. So, but we don't need only, you know, social workers in the church. They are not the social workers of the church. That's really bad to think about that. Deacons are the ones. Actually, their main ministry in the church is to ensure harmony is the church. If a church is like, I don't know, fighting, having problems, it's because of this is their fault, okay? Don't blame the elders, blame the deacons. Because this is your job to actually, the context of deacons is purely Jewish. You know, the church was born in a Jewish setting, and the best charitable system in the ancient world was actually of the Jews. And it was born from the synagogue, out of the synagogue. Every Friday, two charity collectors were going from house to house and from business to business to collect some help for those who were poor, for those who were hungry. And they collected materials and they were distributed, you know, many things to the poor, like money or actual meals. And the main idea was this: to help the poor with food for 14 meals. At least one time per week, per day, one time per day for 2 weeks. It's something. It's not everything. It's not, yeah, now, you know, I play all day, you know, all day long video games, and because the deacons will bring me some food. No. It's you survive with that, but you need to go to work in order to have more, you know, but it's something. It's not everything. And this service was actually called the basket. And there was another service that they were doing called the tray, urgent needs. So you have like day after day needs, but then urgent needs. So they were always thinking about these things. How can we help all the others? And the Christianity actually borrowed some ideas from this system, transformed it, and now we have the deacons in the church. By the way, deacons are not, so if you want to be an elder or a pastor or a priest or whatever, is not the first step you do this is deacon. And then you are that. This is really wrong. Actually, it's against this. It's a man-made idea, but it's not biblical. Deacons are deacons because they love to help people. Because they have, yes, theology in their heads, but a big, big heart for people. They don't want to step further to be leaders like elders or priests or, you know, other different, depending on the church. But it's just that. They, like I told you 2 Sundays ago, the elders, they really want to do this and they stress themselves to do this because it's a hard job. The deacons, they do the same, but they don't want to teach. They want to love people. They want to be there when you are hurt, the deacons will visit you. You bet that they will come and share some prayers and whatever needs you are in. Like, I don't know, if you are sick, they will come with some food. As a church, we do this, but so it's service again, but not like deacons. Deacon's duty is to visit the sick, the poor, the widows, the orphans in the church, to inform the elders about the needs, and then whatever they decide, they will do it. The elders decide, and they are there to do the job. The theological and the directional harmony of the church is in the hands of the elders. You understand? The direction, the theology, is in their hands. But the harmony of the church is in the hands of the deacons. So I think any church would be safe if they have a good theological leadership, and then they have a really good people with big hearts that they love the church. None of them are there to have a bossy attitude, like, you know who I am? I am the deacon of the church. Shush. It's not that. This is really wrong. Or like, oh, I'm a deacon. But you know what? Next year, I'll be an elder. You are not. This is not like a trampoline for the next step in leadership. So why we want biblical type of leadership in the church? Because if they're biblical, we are biblical. Make sense? Everything starts with the leadership. Good or bad. Good or bad, everything starts there and is transported sometime in I don't know, in 1 month, 1 year, one day into the church, into the bloodstream of the church. And that's why it's so important. So the ministry of the deacons, I need some help now talking about service and everything. Please help us with if anybody wants to read Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Who wants to read for us? I'm not going to do all the job today, okay? I need some help. So Acts 6, 1 to 7. I know in the past we had the reading groups, but today it's a bit changed because we have only two or three texts, so it's easier in this way. So who wants to read? Yes, go for it. 1 to 7. Acts chapter 6, 1 to 7. Yeah, well, the New Testament world was like our world today. Serving others was not admired by the Greeks. You have to understand. On the contrary, they admired the development of somebody's character. Okay, character, personality, always they were looking for self-respect, but not for serving. Actually, serving others was seen by others like servile. It was pejorative. It's like, nobody wants to do this. If you do this, you become, you know, the pariah of the society. What you want is a strong character. This interesting text does not refer to the deacons, okay? I know a lot of people says this, but this, not at least not about, is that this text is not about the position or the office of deacons. The text illustrates very well the role and the function of a deacon, but not the office, because the office at that time didn't exist. So what's going on here is a problem in the church, a problem in the church that was fixed, okay, by some men who are ready to serve. That's it. That's it. But it's good to know, and to this is a basic picture from where the deacons, this office originated. You could look at it and think, oh, so this is the ministry, kind of a ministry of deacon. But you understand, the function is there, but not the office. The office was afterwards. After years and years, the church started to have this office of deacons. So, do a problem in the church. Physical needs started to become a problem, and seven believers were, like you have their names, designated to serve the tables. They were not waiters, by the way. This is a reference to financial aspect and even food. But they were behind a table with food and money, and people came and they gave them whatever they needed to, you know, to make the day. So that's why they were serving the, not like a waiters, and they were serving the tables and, do you need anything, a cappuccino or something? No. They were there to ensure that the wealth of the church was well distributed to the needy. There was why the problem in the church? Because among the Jews at that moment, there was an idea that only the Jews in Israel will be resurrected. So if you are, you know, Jews from Greek, you want, and you are pretty old, you think, oh my, I want to be resurrected, but if I'm still here in Greece, probably it never happened. So I'm going back. So they were going back, and there is a fact. Sorry for that. I know I'm in the same situation, but men, as usually, die before the women.
What?
I don't know. That's a good question, but I have no idea. But just check this, and you will see. That's a fact. So I know my wife will survive me. So what can I say? She doesn't like that, but well, that's another story. So they moved in Israel. They moved in Jerusalem. Now they are Christians, but the men died, and you have a lot of widows. And the widows, because they were Greek, the Jewish, that like 100% Jewish widows, they were helped. The other ones, they were like overlooked. You know, one day after day, the widow started to murmur and to grumble and like, well, what is this? What's going on? We are hungry. And then after a while, the church was ready to split. It was a big problem in the church. What should you do with that? And the apostle heard about this and they thought, yeah, okay. You know what? So only the Greek Jewish widows are in this situation. Yes. Okay. Now, check again the text and look at the names. Some names are really tough to, you know, say, but Philip is easy. Prochorus, I think I said it, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicolaus. You see that? What type of names are these? Greek names. So the apostle, smart guys, and said, you know, this is not our job to stay here to distribute money. Our job is to pray and to preach. Now, we need seven, because in Scripture seven is the complete number. We need seven men, Greek men, to resolve a Greek problem. You see? Their heart is with the Greeks. So they will, in this way we know, this problem will be solved. Really smart. And that happened, boom. The first problem in the church disappeared. It's good. They knew this was their, like, the first elder rule decision was a smart one, biblical one. And their qualification are simple. Read again the text. Men of good repute, full of the spirit and wisdom. You don't need anything else to distribute money and food, right? Just to trust them. Now, the problem of one group affected the whole church. And the apostles were very clear and said, okay, so we need to split the spiritual duty or the spiritual life of the church in the pragmatic one. We need other people to care about. We cannot do it all. You see, there is even in leadership, what do you do when you have too much to work to do as a leader? Exactly. Otherwise, what's the opposite? Burnout. Burnout. You die. So either you die or you give it like, yeah, please, we need more people. Do something. So you don't have to, you know, read John Maxwell or other, you know, gurus of leadership. It's read the Bible, okay? It's right there. What was the result of this? Well, the result was really easy. The word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and many priests became obedient to the faith. Wow. Only because they separated the spiritual from the administrative and said, this is not our call. We need other people to do this. If the ministry to free up the elders by taking over the administrative and financial task was temporary in Acts, you look in the church history and that became permanent, and it was the office of the deacons, the office of the ministers, the serving people in the church. Now, we have a second text, if you want to help me with this one, is in 1 Timothy 3. We visited this text last time, but only visited because it's split into in the elder part and then in the other part, in the deacon's part. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 till 13. Who wants to read first? I need a help. Yeah, Dorsey, please. 2:13. So the whole text is more about the qualifications of the deacons, not the ministry of the deacons. But there is an inclusio, this is the name in grammar, verse 11. Verse 11 is really interesting because it said, as you read, and do you have ESV or what? Because, yeah, okay, but I have ESV. Same thing, their wives, right? Yeah, their wives. Now, interesting, in the original, in Greek, is not their wives, is the women. Likewise, the women. I was like, what women now? This is an interpretation, their wives. It's not even there, it's the women. Who are these women? Now, there are many interpretations of this. One is even this isn't interpreted in the scripture, but in our translation. By the way, this is only a translation, right? You understand that? All right. Because the original is in Greek. So you have to go there and to realize what's going on there. I tend to believe that these women were not deacons. And they were not deacons' wife. They were the deacons' assistants performing ministries where only the women were better adapted to do that ministry. So assistants of deacons. And let me explain why. It's a bit technical. it might be very boring for you, okay? So, but bear with me, because I want to defend my why I land on this. Because I read all the interpretations. And I tried to figure out the other. And every time I see something that's like, I don't think so. Then I come up to this and I'm like, yeah, it makes sense. So that's why. The elders, the deacons, and these women are introduced with likewise. So the first one, like the elders, you don't have likewise because this is the first category. But then it's likewise and likewise. Why is that? Because here, when Paul says here, you see verse 8, deacons likewise, and then verse 11, their wives, whatever, likewise, that means introduces a new category. The first category is the overseers, the elders. The second category, the deacons. The third category, which is different, is these women. So these women are different, are a different category like the deacons. They are different than the elders. Verse 11, and I said, is an inclusio. It's like a sandwich. Okay, so this is a bit, you know, too complicated, inclusio. Think of a sandwich, okay? So you have bread, and then you have, you know, the hamburger, whatever. Verse 11 is the hamburger here. It's in these two, in between these two. Why? Because here Paul uses present imperative verbs, and here also. So when you see this, you have to understand how the scripture functions. When you see this, you understand. Jumps over is like a parenthesis. Maybe better than a hamburger, okay? A parenthesis. And this is another hint that the women are connected to the deacons, but different than the deacons because the likewise. Make sense? So you have the likewise is different, but then you have the parenthesis, this inclusio, and then this means they are connected to them, but they are different than them. And that's why I think the grammar actually gives you this hint. They are not their wives. They are related to them, but ministry, not, you know, marriage. They are related to them in ministry, but different than them. And we know, by the way, we know from the beginning, from scripture and then church history, that there were only two offices in the church, elders and deacons, okay? So the third one actually is not part of the two, but still connected. And more connected to, because in the text it's connected to the deacons, not to the elders. I told you, it's kind of a boring. So the problem is, the main idea is, how are they connected? Now we understand they are connected, but how? Well, always in the scripture, when you read this book, this is not a book, you know. This is a library, 66 books. So when you read the book in this library, but this library actually functions the same. And then always my teachers told me, context, context, context. The context is very important. So what I did, I looked in the context. So how about the context of this book? And I found in chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, I need somebody to read this for me. Chapter 5, verse 9 and 10, a special category of women that they were in a list of them. There was a list of them. They had to minister and serve the community. And this is, who wants to read now? Yeah, sure. 5, 9, and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that? Loyal only to one man. Where did you hear this before? Elders and deacons, they have to be one man wife. No. What did I say? This is really wrong.
One wife
man. It was the other way around. I was like, what? So you see, loyal to only one woman. It's not like I have my wife and I have also other women in my life. Yeah. No. No, he is only, his loyalty, spiritual, emotional, and sexual loyalty is only for one woman. Not for others. Not before, not after the marriage. So it's like, yes, this is the love of my life. But then this list, you know, the widows, they were loyal only to only one man. Same idea. So these women are all over the New Testament. Probably you've heard about Phoebe in Romans 16:1. She was who was a helper of the assembly in Cenchrea. Like Chloe in 1 Corinthians 1:11, Euodia and Syntyche in Philippians 4:2. They labored with Paul and Clement. They were important women in the society, most probably widows, with money and in a position of patronage. Now, you have to understand the world of antiquity. A patron. Now, we also have today in the church language, the historical churches, they talk about patron saints. Have you heard about that? Patron saints? You know, this church is dedicated to one saint, and that is the patron of that church, right? Like Catholic Church or Orthodox Church, they do this. So this word patron it comes from that era. You understand? The word used by Paul here for patron is prostatis. It means the one who is actively helping somebody and she was a patroness, if you want to, right? So in the sponsor, she was sponsoring the church. Why? She was wealthy. Phoebe was wealthy. Chloe was wealthy. They were wealthy. They were without husband. By the way, in that world, as a woman, you are not traveling by yourself. That's really bad. But if you are and with a high status in that society, then that's okay. She was an aristocrat, okay? And she was now in Athens, these patrons were citizens who took care of, there is another word, I'm not charging you with all these Greek words, but like resident aliens or freed slaves. They needed a patron. And okay, patron and clients. It's easy to understand that? So, if you are a resident alien or a freed slave, then you are a client. And you want a patron. And if you are wealthy and you have, you show this by clothes, but how else? Well, probably because you are involved in politics. But if not, what? You are a patron. You understand? So they showed how big they were and, muscles because they had clients. Now, in the church, we know in the church of Corinth, there were several wealthy people who previously, before they became Christians, they were patrons. And some of them continued in this same role after they joined the church. And they were operating in the same way. Like if I'm wealthy and Maria is poor, because this is how I'm used in the society, in my mind, I think I'm better than her because I have more money. So we need to connect in the church through this relationship, patron and client. Now, you tell me, is this right? I'm not going to preach unless I have an answer. Do you think is this right or not? Is right? Like what? Yes, she was a patron. She was not the only one. Stefana and his house was the same. But this was not, they were the good patrons. But there were other brothers and sisters in the church that they were like, I'm better than you. And that was not right. And Paul tells them, this is not right. In the church, we are all a family. If you want to help with money, do it, but don't tell others. And don't tell Maria, now you are my client. You understand? It's like relatives helping relatives, not patrons and clients. But Paul, when he talks about in Romans 16, he says that Phoebe was helping, but he uses this word, patron, because she was a deaconess, and you have that deaconess, but actually is without article. That means she was not in the office. She was doing the job. In a sense, she was not a deacon. Sorry. She was only a wealthy woman in the church, sponsoring the church, sponsoring the people, because she loved them. She was serving them, but she was not a deacon. She did a deacon type of work. So all of these, actually, they support this idea that all these women are not the wives of deacons. They are what? Assistants. Where men cannot go there to solve this issue, they sent these women because they were, you heard, you know, the list and the qualifications of these women, and even in First Timothy 3. So this group of rich women ministers, they assisted the deacons, but they were not in the official office of a deacon. You want to call them deaconess? I don't care. Call them as you wish, but they were not in that office. This is the only thing, okay? So the ministry of the deacons is this, to help the elders, and they are assisted by women when they cannot solve that particular issue. Now, what are the qualifications? Well, the qualification of a deacon, we already read them. They have to be, again, irreproachable, beyond reproach, above reproach. So, likewise, like the elders, they should be beyond reproach in their church and public life, like respectable, not double-tongued, not drunkard, not greedy, and with a clear conscience. In their family life, they have to be also above reproach, loyal to his wife, manage his children and his family well. Well, by the way, if he cannot take care of his family, how he will take care of the church? if he's a failure in his family, you don't want him as a deacon because he will destroy the church. You don't want that. So now, that's interesting. The character and the behavioral qualifications are almost the same, like the deacon, like the elders, but somehow crafted for their ministry. The deacons were those who were visiting the members of the church. Now, do you want a person, a man, going from house to house and starting rumors? He's like, you know what this and this and said? Oh, my God, you cannot believe. And then he goes to another family. He's like, you know what they said? Oh, this is on. You understand? Like in less than a month, the whole church will explode. Why? Because of them. You don't want them. That's why Paul said, not double-tongued with two tongues. He's not talking about the serpent here, we know, with but something like that. He says something here, and he says something here, and then problems. And no one wants deacon with a dirty conscience. Actually, the text gives us an interesting mind picture. He said the deacon keeps the doctrine in a safe box, and this safe box is his conscience. Beautiful picture. The doctrine held in a safe box of clean conscience. Well, if you have a dirty conscience, this will affect the doctrine. How? Well, let's say, you know, I'm kind of I have a dirty conscience, and I will change the doctrine, the teaching, just to paint my conscience in a theological way. You don't want that. You want people with clear conscience, and they are not dirty in their conscience. And this is why the local church needs deacons above reproach. And by the way, for the sake of the Crossroads Church harmony, we need deacons. Good men who are able to visit people and work together with women that are really strong women, and they really want to, like Phoebe or Chloe. Now, there is another qualification. So these are the qualifications of the character and behavior. But then, remember, they have to be tested. They have to be tested. There is no deacon working in the church unless he is tested. Tested in his theology, but tested by the whole church. The church will say, oh, yeah, oh, this? No way. We don't want this as a deacon. We don't want him visiting our houses. We know who he is. Stop doing this. You see, the church tells, but who is the one who will pick these deacons from the church? The elders. They look and they're like, well, yeah, this man looks like a good man. Let's test him theologically. And he is okay. And then you ask the whole church, what do you think about this man? Oh, you don't want them. You know, there is a saying about some preachers, you don't want them, when they are sitting in the bench, you don't want them going to the, you know, pulpit. And when they're at the pulpit, you don't want them to go back. So it's like they are not walking their talk. They're a problem for the church. Likewise, this deacon, you don't want that. So you want them tested by those who know theology, and then you know you want to be tested by those who know them well. But the verse 13 is an interesting, and this is the last one. The last qualification is given by the high status obtained. It says this, for those who serve well as deacons gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. The promise for a high status in the church relates to the deacon's performance. If they perform well, if they serve well, the deacon's prize is a noble status. Everybody will say, yeah, you deserve to be, and we are so proud of you. The deacon's trust grows linear with his ministry. Like, as he serves, his trust in the Word of God and in himself, they grow. So, by the way, the deacon is not an accountant who from time to time comes back from the financial world in the church. Should I say it again? He's not an accountant. He's not a glorified accountant. Okay. He's not an accountant. A guy who knows, you know, math and financial world. And from time to time, he comes among us. No. He's a good person. He is theologically prepared. Good, big heart. And he knows also that financial world. Because what we know and we want, they will protect our church. Even talking about, you know, money and everything. If the elders are rewarded by the chief shepherd, probably you remember what Paul said, Peter said, and when the chief shepherd appears, you, the elders, will receive the unfading crown of glory. They are rewarded by Jesus Christ himself. How about the deacons? Also, it says here, and also great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus is giving them a confidence, a strong confidence, but more than a strong confidence, they also gain a good standing. Now, by the way, better to be a deacon than an elder in the church. Because you receive something from the Lord and something from the community. The elders are like, yeah, only Jesus Christ. And afterwards, you know, after you are dead, Jesus will give you the crown. Well, thank you, but, you know, something here? Well, so my conclusion is this. The deacons are not glorified accountants of the local church. If the elders serve by leading, the deacons lead by serving. Make sense? Elders serve by leading. They are the leaders mainly. But the deacons lead by serving. And by the way, elders lead by personal example. You want that. Their duty is spiritual in nature, the deacons, but administrative inclined. The deacons are very pragmatic people with a ministry that is close to the members of the church. They love them. They know everything what is going on in the local church, and they are ready to tell the others, okay, we have this problem. How we should solve it? And the others will say, oh, let's do this. On it. On it. Let's do it. The deacons are not professionals painted with some Christianity. You know, the Christian paint, but they are professionals. They are, yes, they are well-trained in the scripture, but with a big heart for serving others. The only thing that makes them different from the elders is the ability to teach. But, yes, they are also helped by others, and especially these women, powerful women, strong women, that they want to serve the Lord. The deacons are nominated by elders under the trial of the elders, under the trial of the church, and then they are, remember, it says that the apostle laid hands. He said, yeah, they are in ministry because we want them. They have authority. So we pray for deacons who will serve well in Crossroads, because we want to give them a high status in the family of God. And they deserve it, right? Now, maybe you sit here and like, you know what? That was interesting-ish. But I'm not a deacon. You know what? I'm not a deacon. What's in for me? Why did you talk about the deacon and I'm not a deacon? I'm not an elder. Why these sermons? I will tell you why. Because these deacons come from the church. These elders come from the church. The elders are models for us, but we all are like this. The deacons, they are servant, they have servant hearts, but they are not different than us. We should be like the same. We should be the same. So, theoretically, would not be a problem to have elders and deacons because the whole church should be the same. Big heart for ministry, big heart for the Lord, showing a good example, and right? So this is my take. If I'm not an elder, I'm not a deacon, this is my take. I have to be like this. I have to serve. I have to, you know, love the Lord. I have to be above reproach. It's not only for them. But if we want to elevate them in an office position, we should be, you know, very clear that they are good men we want to follow them. We trust them. But you cannot trust unless we all are the same. Now, if the past, like, 3 weeks, you thought, oh, yeah, it's a big burden on them. Yeah, it's good because they want to be leaders. Let me tell you something. The burden is on all of us, and you too. Each one of us. They are not here. They are here. They support the whole church. They are there to serve the church, not to control the church. So who's important here? Everyone. Each one of us. Therefore, in one of the values of our church is to empower all of the people in the church. It's not, they don't have the power. They are there to serve. But please don't mock them. Okay, oh, you are a servant. You're my servant. No. No, respect them. But the burden is on you. On all of us. On all of us. Okay, well, we have a very interesting habit here. We want to give you a chance to say something, what you've learned today. If this is first time and you don't want to do that, don't do it. All right. But if you want to do it, it's good to give a feedback, because until Wednesday, probably you will forget everything I said here. Or maybe in 2 hours. But it's easier to remember if you say something. So if something was interesting, something stood out to you, share with the others. If you don't want to, don't do it. But turn and make like small groups of people, turn and to the others and talk for 7 minutes, and then we'll come back. If you have questions, at the end we have Q&A. And then, I don't know, how we'll do this. We have a song? Okay. So, turn and talk. If you want to share, share. If you don't. But then, if you have questions, any type of question, I would like to take these questions, okay? Related or not related? Okay, turn and talk, please. If you don't want to, that's okay. We respect that.